My guest at this time is Ken Cuccinelli, the former Attorney General in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He is also president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. We want to get his reaction to the announcement Wednesday that House Speaker Paul Ryan will not seek another term in the House of Representatives, and obviously will be stepping down as Speaker come the end of the year. So what is the Ryan legacy, at least to this point, and what is the right path forward for Republicans and conservatives? And Ken, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you, as always.
What's your reaction, first of all, that Ryan is not going to seek re-election in 2018? There had been some rumors he was going to step down a few months ago. His office pushed back on that. Now people are wondering if he's reading the tea leaves and thinking that even if he does win re-election, there won't be a GOP majority. What do you think is ultimately at work here?
No, we're way too far out for that conclusion. I'm happy to see him go. I mean, as establishmentarians go, he's a very nice guy. But look, he has stabbed conservatives in the back. He has made public promises that he hasn't kept. Very basic things, like how he was going to run the House. And he has gone back on those promises. He's only helped deliver one of the things in the conservative agenda that was even part of President Trump, then candidate Trump's agenda, and that was the tax reform bill. They literally have one thing to show for his tenure in the House, and that's that tax reform bill. There's nothing else positive to point to except, look, I'm anti-regulation. I really appreciate them peeling out one regulation at a time. But in the big picture, that's small potatoes. And, you know, as long as he and the rest of that leadership make war on the conservative base that elects them, we will not have peace in the Republican Party.
I want to talk about that war in just a moment, but defenders of Paul Ryan would probably say something to the effect of, the House has actually passed quite a bit of conservative stuff, but it dies in the Senate. They went through regular order on appropriations, and if the Senate had been able to get it done, then we wouldn't have had the ugly omnibus bill. The House passed a version, at least, of repealing Obamacare. The Senate couldn't get it done. That would pretty much be the argument. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, it wasn't Obamacare repeal. You know, had that been held up to more scrutiny, had it passed, you know, our people would have been like, this is victory. So, you know, let's not let them hide behind the skirts of the Senate on that one. And look, if you're going to stick with regular order, then you make the Senate stick with regular order. You don't pass the omnibus. You tell the Senate, and this is weak need stuff. And look, the president shouldn't have signed the bill. Oh, gosh, this is a terrible bill and I'm going to sign it, but I'm never going to sign one again. How outrageous is that? I mean, that's a real failure on the part of the president. The failure on the part of the speaker, if in fact he considers it a failure, which I do not believe he does, is entering into the omnibus approach at all. What he should have done is say to the Senate, we have passed appropriation bills. You can now vote on them. And when you get those back to us, we'll act on each of your votes. And that's it. That's all he should have done. And, you know, this whole complaining shtick about the Senate doesn't go anywhere when they can actually stick the Senate with the work they've done and they refuse to do it. So it's very disingenuous on his part.
Talk a little bit more about the war now. And in addition to advancing ideas that conservatives either held their nose on or simply opposed, as the case was for dozens on the omnibus, for example,
right.
Where's an example or where are several examples of Paul Ryan essentially stabbing the conservative movement in the back as you see it?
Well, I mean, even when he was coming in as Speaker, the House Freedom Caucus, he promised quite publicly that he would put Tim Huell's camp, who was a Kansas member of the House Freedom Caucus, back on the Ag Committee. He was punished for one of his conservative votes by being pulled off of that committee, and he's from Western Kansas. It's a, you know, it's an agriculture district. Well, when a establishment challenger rose up, the powers that be, the Chamber of Commerce types, convinced Ryan to break his promise, don't put Huell's camp back on the Ag Committee. And then they promptly ran against Huell's camp in Kansas for not being on the Ag Committee. And mind you, people like Kevin McCarthy were encouraging this actively. You know, that was a right out of the box example for him. Broader examples are the Obamacare piece. The biggest promise in yours and my lifetime, political promise. And not only did Mitch McConnell betray us on that, but if you look at what Paul Ryan put through, you will see that it would have left us basically with the outer structure of Obamacare. It was not, they like to call it skinny repeal. What that means is this is not repeal. Interestingly, you've got 18 attorneys general and a couple of governors who've now sued on Obamacare again. I don't know if you've reported on this yet. And the government hasn't answered yet, but using the original decision combined with the tax reform bill, which eliminated the tax penalty, which was the hook that Chief Justice Roberts hung his single decisive vote on to uphold Obamacare, these 20 states have now said, well, that's gone. The hook is gone. So even under the original rationale of Chief Justice Roberts, this is now unconstitutional. And the Trump administration could settle the case and agree, and then they would have gotten rid of Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel without a single vote of support, not a modicum of support from a single Republican in Congress.
We have reported on that, and I believe it's Texas and Wisconsin attorneys general that are leading the
way. Yeah, they're leading the way. You're right.
Leading the way on that. And so let's talk briefly about what follows Paul Ryan and also about the midterms here in our last couple of minutes. First of all, for the most part, names like Kevin McCarthy, who you've just explained would not be probably your first choice to replace Ryan as Republican leader, whether they're even in position to name the speaker come January. Steve Scalise is also out there. He's been a member of the leadership for a while as the whip. Quickly, what do you think of them, and what names come to mind for you as the best leaders for the GOP in the House?
Well, I think the best leader in the GOP for the GOP in the House would be Jim Jordan. He's a Freedom Caucus member who has demonstrated an ability to maintain personal relationships across the entire caucus, has always kept his word, unlike these leadership folks who it seems like a prerequisite of going into leadership. Take Scalise. Scalise used to be a conservative, and what he would tell you is, well, you can't do that and be in leadership, so let's reinterpret that. So you can't keep your principles if you take this particular job, and yet, so when you had to choose between the two, you abandon your principles for this title. Okay, and now you want us to make you speaker. Why should we do this again? The only difference between McCarthy and Scalise, other than their previous history before being in leadership, is who's more aggressively anti-conservative, and that would be McCarthy. McCarthy's going to claim a closer relationship with Trump, but McCarthy really is unacceptable to a broad swath of the caucus. Jim Jordan, you know, some people like the Tuesday Morning Group, the real liberals in the caucus, might object to anybody from the House Freedom Caucus, but I would suspect that Jordan is the person who can gather up that kind of support because he has been such a professional. He's never been, he can't cast him as a firebrand, but he's also stood for principles and has sought to use the power of the House to advance the principles they all campaigned on. What a concept. And when you look ahead to the midterms, if all you have to show to your entire base is one bill, you're going to get wiped out. They've got to get work done in the next 6 months, or they're going to be arguing over minority leader, not speaker.
Real quick, what can they get done realistically in that 6 months?
Well, they're going to have a budget fight in the fall, and they would be well served by having it, not putting it off past the election. That's their usual instinct, is to put it all past the election. They should absolutely not do that. But before that, the revulsion over the omnibus has been so significant, I think they've been scared, and so is the president, into looking at rescissions. Well, they should do it. They, you know, it only makes it less bad, but make it less bad and get some of that money off the table. I heard George Will speak not too long ago, and he was talking about our borrowing, and he said, you know, we used to borrow for the future, like to build roads. Now we borrow from the future to fund welfare. It's a very poignant statement. We used to borrow for the future. Now we borrow from the future. And we're really spending our country into the dirt. And Jim Jordan, of those three, is the only one who's demonstrated a willingness and an ability to hold the line on anything and still be able to work across party lines, well, within the party. I think they can and should make headway on budget items in terms of shrinking the budget. They can and should make headway on the border. The president really should be supported heavily in achieving comprehensive immigration updating. I won't even call it reform, because really what we have to do is get rid of a bunch of junk in the system, like visa lottery and chain migration and so forth. Those have got to go. And Republicans ought to be able to deliver that, or they ought not be the majority.
Well, a lot to get done. And as you mentioned, only one major legislative achievement to point to so far for both the House and Senate. Ken, always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Ken Cuccinelli, former Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia. He is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.